Good morning and greetings to each of you in the precious name of Jesus. It's a blessing to have my parents and two of my brothers here this morning as well, Derek and Josh. And yeah, thankful they can be here this morning. And I'm excited to continue going through the fruits of the Spirit. Hopefully you are encouraged and maybe challenged as we study the fruits of the Spirit. It's been a blessing for me as well as a challenge. And I mentioned when I first started that I wasn't sure if I would cover several in a message, but I've been finding so far as I study one fruit that there's plenty there for a message for each one. And maybe I just don't do so well at condensing and keeping it short. So I'd like to continue the study this morning on the fruits of the Spirit. And the title of the message this morning is Bearing the Fruit of Goodness. So we're ready for the fruit of goodness. You can turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. In our men's small group, we've set some goals recently. And one of my goals was to memorize the verses from Galatians 5, verses 16 through the end of the chapter. It's not that long of a passage, but it was a bit of a struggle for me to get them all memorized. And then Wednesday evening, James Metzler was here sharing the Winter Bible School topic, and I was both blessed and challenged by the verses he had internalized. He was quoting a number of verses from heart, by memory. And that kind of, after being at the with the quizzers Tuesday evening and then James Metzler Wednesday evening, I was encouraged to try to tackle these verses. And I don't think I'm going to say them by heart this morning. But I can say them by heart to my family pretty much, word for word, but I don't know that I could do it in front of you all right now. I share that not as trying to lift myself up, but Bible memory is really good. And I know some of you do a lot better than I do. But having God's Word in our hearts, as Matt shared this morning, I appreciated the devotional about God's Word being a light guiding us. And I believe in it's even a greater light when it's right here in our heart. So I will read the verses here shortly. But before I go there, thinking about the fruit of goodness, my guess is if you would go and ask, say, five people this week, do you consider yourself to be a good person? My guess is the majority of those people would say, well, yes, they'd say they're a good person. If someone were to ask you, are you a good person? I'd be curious to know what your answer would be and how you would answer that. But many people base that they look at their life and maybe compare that with the lives around them. And they say, well, yeah, they're a pretty good person. You know, they haven't maybe killed anybody or they're not stealing. In fact, in my studies, I found that over 50% of people feel like they're above average in being a good person. Just how we think pretty highly of ourselves many times. I found it interesting as I was studying yesterday. Sometimes my desk in the office accumulates things. And I found this smart card on my desk. I don't know if any of you have a smart card like this. But if you're familiar with Ray Comfort, Living Waters, they have a lot of different tracks. And I saw this, and I didn't actually even know who it was from, but it says on this card, the top it says, smart card, place your thumb firmly on the box for 15 seconds. If you're a good person, this box will turn bright green. And it says specifically, only for 15 seconds. So before I turned it around, I put my thumb on this box, I counted to 15, I pulled my thumb away, you know, hoping it's bright green, hopefully I'm a good person, and it looked the same. It didn't change. And then I read on the back, sorry, you're just like the rest of us. The dictionary says good is to be morally excellent. Let's check the standard, the Ten Commandments, or God's Word. And Ray Comfort does that with many people. He will go up to them, do you consider yourself to be a good person? Many times. The answer is yes. But then as Ray Comfort takes them through God's laws, all of a sudden they admit many times of being a liar, to stealing something at some point, regardless of their value. So by their own, they admit, by God's laws, they're not so good. They fail. And I believe that every one of us are honest enough here this morning. And when we compare ourselves with God's holiness or with God's laws, we're not so good. We do fail. But as we go through the fruits of the Spirit, we're called to bear the fruit of goodness. So I want to explore that this morning, what it looks like or how we can bear the fruit of goodness. I will start reading here at verse 16 in Galatians 5. Paul says this, and I know I haven't read all these verses in every message, but I think the context here is important. If we want to bear the fruit of the Spirit, we need to walk in the Spirit, and I want to talk about some of that this morning. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So again, we're ready for looking at this, the fruit of this, the Spirit of goodness, bearing the fruit of goodness. So the Greek word translated goodness, in my studies I can somewhat pronounce that word, but I'll let you read it here. It's defined as uprightness of heart and life. So it's not just about doing good things. There's a lot of people who strive to do good things, but it's more about having a right heart, uprightness of heart and life. And goodness is virtue and holiness in action. So it's not just being right, but it's also doing good things or doing the right thing. It results in a life characterized by deeds motivated by righteousness and a desire to be a blessing. So we have a lot of people in the world that seek to do good, but the problem is at the core, we're not good. At least not in our carnal nature. We need to be changed from the inside. So this morning, I would like to use the word goodness as an acronym and build off of that. So I'm going to go through some of these fairly quickly. I'm just going to list them now. You probably won't have the time to write all of them down now, but you should be able to, if you're taking notes, to record them as we go through them one by one. So first, I want to spend some time exploring God's goodness. Secondly, I want to think about, so if we observe God's goodness, and what are we going to do with that? So God invites us to imitate Him. And if we're going to be imitators of Him and bear that fruit of goodness, we're going to have to surrender, open our hands, and allow God to change us. And then as we go throughout life, there's times where we deal with the flesh, that sinful nature. We need to overcome evil. And then another one, if we're going to continue to overcome, we need to be devoted to God. And then we also need to have noble character or be upright, be a person of integrity. And then we also need to be earnest or sincere. Now, there's a lot of people that do good things, and sometimes I can do good things with an ulterior motive. But someone who really is walking in the Spirit will do goodness out of a sincere or earnest heart. And then we'll look at, briefly, a servant's heart. And Jesus was the ultimate example of that. And then also having a sensitive or caring heart. So we'll go through those in that order this morning. So, for the first one, I'm going to be putting some scriptures on the wall as we go through this. Be a little faster than turning to them as we go through this acronym. So, thinking about God's goodness, we could look at a lot of verses in scripture, but I'd like to read some of these here. It says this verse from Psalm 145, verse 9, "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." So it's not just some that the Lord is good to. Now, I realize there are some passages in Scripture where it can be hard to understand God's justice or God's fairness, but God is fair. You know, sometimes the way it talks about certain people that God hardened their heart, but I believe each person has a choice of how they're going to respond to God's goodness. And when they harden their heart, God, in his free will that he gives to each person, he allows them to go their way. But God, or the Lord, is good to all. Another verse from Psalm 100, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." So the Lord shows no favoritism. He loves all people. His goodness is not limited to a certain generation. It wasn't just for the people back in the times of the Bible, when the Bible was being written or when it was being lived out. But his goodness extends to 2026. His goodness continues. His goodness is universal. It's not limited geographically. And I believe every single human being on the face of this earth experiences God's goodness, whether they deny him or accept him. The very air we're breathing, the one who denies God is still benefiting from God's goodness. The air they breathe, the food they eat, the water they drink, they are experiencing God's goodness. How many of you woke up this morning and thanked God for his goodness? I'm not saying we need to pray it or thank God every time, but it's something to thank God for. Thank God for his goodness. He is a good God. There is a song that you may be familiar with, the song "The Goodness of God." It's a song I've really enjoyed. I think it was written several years ago. And I'll just read some of the lyrics. It goes like this: "I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God." And the chorus: "'Cause all my life you've been faithful. All my life you've been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God." And then the verse 2, "I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In the darkest night, you are so close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God." And I believe all of us could testify to God's goodness, to God's faithfulness in our lives. So we can thank God for his goodness. Because of God's goodness, as we imitate Christ, we also should be bearing the fruit of goodness. There's a verse in Ephesians that talks about this. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." Some translations would say, "created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So God's desire... Sometimes we wonder what God's will is for our life. Well, one of God's wills for every child of God is that they would produce good works. Not to earn their salvation, not to earn their favor with God, but because of God's goodness, because of what God has done in our lives, we should be compelled or motivated to live a life of good works out of what Christ has done for us. So that's the first one, and we'll move here to the second one. I'll go through some of these faster than others. So Second one, thinking about, again, if you're going off of that acronym, goodness, this is the second one with the word O, open hands, or another word that might even be better is surrender. Went with open hands for the sake of the acronym. We know that from Scripture that it is God's desire or God's will that all would come to a saving faith in Him. And yet God in His love and His goodness doesn't force us. He invites us to come to Him. It's not God's will that any would perish, but He doesn't force us. And He invites us to come to a place of surrender or open our hands and allow God to have His way in our life. And a verse to go with this is a beautiful verse or a picture of surrender or open hands. So Paul thought he was busy doing good works, right? He was out, he was a zealous man. He was actually persecuting the Christians. And as Paul is on the road to Damascus, God strikes him down and blinds him with a bright light. And this is the beautiful part in Paul's life, or Saul, it was then Saul. He surrenders to God and says, Lord, what will you have me to do? And I think this is so important. If we want to allow God to use us for good works, we all must come to this place in our life. If we try to, many people, going back to, you know, if you ask people if they're a good person, many people in this world are hoping that their good works outweigh the bad, or make it a, they try to do enough of good works to outweigh the bad, so hopefully, you know, when they meet God on Judgment Day, God will allow them into heaven. Well, the truth is, if that's how we're trying to gain God's favor, we're going to fail. We're not going to, it's not going to be good enough. We're going to fall short. We can't detour this experience, whatever you want to call it, whatever you want to name it. Surrender or open hands and allow God to cleanse us, allow God to change us. When we come to this place, it is out of that that God can do His work. God can change us, and we can be cleansed. And then moving on here, the third one, another O for good. So we looked at God's goodness, we looked at being open to God's will, and now overcoming evil. There's a verse in Romans 12 that says this, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now there's a lot of good verses in Romans chapter 12 that you can take the time to read. The context of this is, you know, facing opposition, facing persecution. And Paul invites us to return good for evil. We are not to allow we should not allow evil to overcome us. There's a lot of things, if we're going to produce good works, there's a lot of things in life that we're going to have to overcome. And sometimes we are in temptations that maybe want to overtake us or overcome us. But Paul said in Corinthians, he says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. There are times in life where these temptations are very, very real. They're very powerful. But I believe if we come to the place in life where we really want God's will to be done in our life, we need to be able to, or we need to take the way of escape. Because if we allow the temptation to overcome us, we cannot produce the good works that God has in mind for us. When we yield to temptation, we're going to we will hinder God's will from being accomplished in our lives. So we need to overcome sin. We need to overcome the flesh that rises within at times. We need to overcome temptations that come without, or that temptations that we encounter as we go throughout life. If you want to produce good works, you need to be an overcomer. One who is an overcomer will, or is not an overcomer, again, will not be producing the good works that God desires. So I believe an important part of being being an overcomer is being devoted to God, or have devotion to God. And the verses that I read in Galatians chapter 5, and I really like some of these verses here, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So when then temptations come, we have the choice. Are we going to yield to the flesh? Are we going to yield to the temptation? Or are we going to be devoted to God and overcome that temptation? If we're going to be devoted to God, we will continue walking in the Spirit. And I realize we all fail at times. There are times where we fail and we yield to the flesh. But an overcomer must be devoted to God and to walk in the Spirit. And some more verses in Galatians that I read. "And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." I don't know how you would define the difference between living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. As you think about that, what's the difference between living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit? Because Paul says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I think they're very closely connected. I think we need to be living in the Spirit, but I think of walking in the Spirit as actively taking making the decision to continue living in that Spirit or walking in the Spirit. The key to overcoming the flesh is being devoted to walking in the Spirit. I think that's a key. I'm not saying that's the only key, but as I was thinking about this, I believe that's a very important part. I don't know how many of you read the Beside the Still Waters this past week, but I think it was Tuesday morning. This message was on my mind, and I was reading the devotional, and it talked about, I'll get there here very shortly. So this morning, I want us to walk in the Spirit so that we produce good works. I know this is very basic. This sounds very simple. I want us to walk in the Spirit so that we produce good works. And I thought about that if it was worded the other way, and said, I want us to produce good works so that we walk in the Spirit. Again, I want to be careful with this because we don't earn God's favor by producing good works. We earn God's favor by surrendering to Him, allowing God to cleanse us. And out of that, we should walk in the Spirit that produces good works. And back to that devotional, there was the one who wrote the devotionals, he had seen on a church sign, it said this, "Exercise daily, walk with God." And I like that. And if you've set a New Year's goal to get maybe physically exercise daily or weekly, whatever your goal might be, and if you ever miss that resolution, maybe you can at least take comfort that you're still exercising, you're walking with God. But it should be a goal that we all have, to exercise daily, walk with God, or walk in the Spirit. So, being devoted to God. So part of being devoted to God is living a committed life, or a noble or upright life. And there's a verse in Job, says this, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil," or stayed away from evil. Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing for God to say about us? To name you and say, here is a perfect and upright person. I think each one of us would have that desire for God to say that of us. But that's not always easy to live that kind of life. So if we want to be used of God for good works, we need to be upright in character, to be a person of integrity. And that's another word that could be used, or to have a godly character about us. Some more verses we could look at in Psalm 101. These are words of David. So it takes a committed person to live an upright life. David said, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Thinking again about temptations that come to us, those temptations I mentioned are very real at times. And maybe when you're alone, when no one else is around you and them temptations come, and you're faced with a decision whether you're going to walk in the spirit or yield to the flesh. And so quickly, Satan brings lies to us and says it's really not that bad, or no one else will know it. It really doesn't matter. But if we haven't purpose in our heart like David and says, I will not, we're going to be much more likely to yield to those temptations. So if we want to be producing good works for God, we need to have a godly character, being upright in our heart, to be clean within, and that out of that, those good works can come. And I really like the verse here too about, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. There's many times temptations come through our eyes or through our mind, things that we see, things that we think about. What do we do with our mind? What do we do with our eyes? Will we commit like David? Now, we realize David was not perfect. I'm not sure when he wrote this psalm. I imagine it was later on in life, after he's learned some very hard things in his life with the sins that he committed. But I didn't actually study when that was written. But will we purpose in our heart and be committed, be devoted to God, and to be upright in character? I don't know how many of you read about Philip Yancey this week. It was not a name I was familiar with, but I had seen it on the news. A very popular Christian author. He's wrote many books. And just recently, he confessed to living 8 years in an adulterous relationship with another married woman. And the heartbreak that brings to his marriage, the heartbreak that brings to many, many Christians. It doesn't mean that the books that he wrote and that the books aren't any good, but he very openly, he publicly made his confession. But there's going to be a lot of consequences that come from this. He stepped down from ministry. He's 77 years old. While I read that, my heart was greatly saddened. And I couldn't help but think of Ravi Zacharias a number of years ago. Ravi was a man that obviously I never met personally, but I really appreciated him. But when he was exposed after his death for the life that he was living, it was very yuck. But the saddest thing of all, to our knowledge, that sin went with him to the grave. And I want to be careful when I say this. People like Philip Yancey and Ravi Zacharias were very well known. They were Christian celebrities, if you can call them that. So I'm sure for Ravi, it would have been very hard to admit what was going on. Maybe he confessed it personally. I don't know where all he was at, but he never made a public repentance. That went with him to the grave. So while I'm saddened by this Philip Yancey, I have a lot of respect. I don't know exactly how this came about, but I have a lot of respect that he's willing to put a public confession out there. I respect him for that, because God is a loving God. God is a merciful God. But his character is very tainted by what he was doing, living 8 years while writing about marriage and writing about God's grace. It taints what he has done. Doesn't say that's not truth, but he was failing in character. So we need to be, another very closely connected to this one is earnest or sincere. I just put 100% genuine. I thought of, you know, there's a lot of things that we can buy that aren't the real deal. I thought of wood, for example. You can buy veneer wood. I've already bought veneer plaques. While on the outside, it looks like solid wood. Looks like the real deal. Even my desk in the office, it's veneer. Underneath that what looks like is real wood, it's composite board. It's particle board that's glued together. It's not solid wood. It's not what it looks like on the outside. And sometimes it's easy to live this way and to be not 100% sincere. Sometimes we can do good works more for the praise of man or to be seen by others, and we're not really doing them out of just serving God. And I'll read a couple of these verses here quickly. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. I believe it's important when we do good works. I think it's good to be intentional to do good things. Those are good things. I think some of it should just come naturally because of who we are in Christ. But I also think sometimes we might see something and feel like we should do something about a situation, while our flesh might not always feel like it. I think it's okay to intentionally step out and do something. But when we do that, I don't think it always must be done in private, that we can't ever tell anyone about it. But if we're doing it for the praise of man or for the applaud of man, that, the way I understand it, that's our reward. We'll get the reward of man. But if we do it out of a service to the Lord, we're going to, I believe, reap the benefit of being rewarded. I'm not going to take the time to go into much of the context here, but Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus was talking about giving. He says, when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. I'm not going to spend much time on that. But much of our service can be done in secret. When we're truly doing it to serve the Lord, it doesn't matter if it goes unnoticed. Now, it's nice when people thank us for something or praise us for something, and there's a place for that, but we should not do it for that reason. And thinking too about doing good works and being sincere, being genuine. Sometimes we can do things to make ourselves, again, look good. And we are maybe more focused on the outside than on the inside. But God, we can't fool God. One day we're going to all stand before Him. And God already knows, as we live our life, how sincere or how honest we are living. God knew Ravi's heart. God knew Philip's heart. God knew that all along. We can't hide anything from Him. As I was preparing for this message, my mind kept going back to a recent thing that I experienced. And I wasn't sure if I would share this with you. We are all... Well, I'll just share the story. So most of you know, a couple weeks ago, I found bear tracks in the snow, and I tracked that bear for many miles in the snow. And as I was tracking that bear, my mind kept going, like, I hope I don't come across posted signs because that's going to stop me from pursuing this bear. Well, I was many miles in, and I did come across posted signs. I'm like, stopping here. I looked on the property. I'm like, okay, it's not a big piece of property. It's a small section here. The bear probably just went right through it, so like I could get through it and I'm soon be in good land again, but it's like this long strip, but it's not very wide. Like, what do I do? So I went online. I was looking for a phone number. I couldn't find any contact information to get a hold of the... I forget if I actually called a number and they didn't answer, if I couldn't even find the information. And I stood there for some time thinking, what am I going to do? It wouldn't make sense to go around. So I went through. And I say that with regret and with shame, because what I don't... So later, the bear did just go through that property, and I continued on the tracks. But later it went into a much bigger area that was posted. And there I was like, okay, I'm not going to just pursue a bear without permission. I tried getting permission, and I couldn't, so I paused the track. But when I shared that story with multiple people, it can sound good that, okay, you know, eventually I came across posted property, so I stopped. But the truth is, I did go through a little section there that I didn't have permission to go through. And some of you might think, well, that's no big deal. And others, some of you, I may have surprised by admitting that. I say that with shame, because, you know, if someone would have seen me in there, it wouldn't have been good for my testimony. And not that it only matters about that, but it wasn't the right thing to do. And the reason I share that too, I believe the compromises that we make in little things can after a while lead up to bigger and bigger things, because so many times we can justify them in our mind. And the way I justified it that day was, well, I'm not actually going to shoot the bear in this property. I'll just walk through it. And I wonder if Philip, this author that just admitted to this 8-year adulterous relationship, I don't think he set out in his Christian life thinking that's where he's going to end up. It probably started by little compromises here and there that kept leading to bigger and bigger things. So if we want to be producing good works, we need to be earnest or sincere. Moving along here quickly, servant's heart. So we can learn from Jesus. He was the greatest servant. And I'm just going to go through this quickly. A beautiful passage of this is Philippians 2. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I know we should continue reading there for the context of that passage, but Jesus was the ultimate servant. He came and he served and he served and he served. And we're called to put on the mind of Christ and to serve out of a servant's heart, not for the praise of man, but out of doing good things or serving others. Real quick here, anyone know who in the Bible is described as full of good works? Shout it out. There's someone specifically that's described as someone who is full of good works.
Dorcas,
yes, also known as Tabitha. She served others. I think she was making clothing for others. It describes her as being full of good works. And I realize this morning I'm speaking to many people who are full of good works. I really believe that, and I see that. And I want to bless you for that and encourage you to continue being full of good works. So, in what way or ways can you serve someone, can you serve someone this week? I believe we will all have opportunities to serve this week. And I believe we should be intentional in serving others and thinking about how we can bless others. And some of that comes down, the more sensitive we are to the needs around us, I think the more opportunities we will see. And I believe there are some that have the gift of serving others. But I don't think that excludes us who maybe don't see that as quick. We should still look for ways to serve or to bless others. A verse in Galatians right after this passage, or the passage that I read, in Galatians 6 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." There are times where you can see, well, you will notice brothers or sisters in need or going through something very difficult. Those are opportunities for you to bear one another's burdens or to serve one another. There's a proverb that says, "Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard." So we have the choice. Now, we can't meet everyone's needs. We can't serve everyone. But if there's a need around us that we harden our heart from, or we are not willing to go serve, we might not be heard either. That's what I get from this proverb. When we need help, we might not receive the help if we're not willing to serve others. And there's a verse from 1 John that says this, "But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" Again, we can't meet everyone's needs, but we can do something. And if we're going about our week and we see a need, and God puts it on our heart to serve or to show care, to do good works, and we just turn from it. So we could look at the example of the Good Samaritan and the first two, the priest and the Levite that just passed by on the other side. They didn't want to get their hands dirty. But that Samaritan went the extra mile or the second mile and showed compassion. He was sensitive. He was caring. So, in conclusion, as we think about this acronym, and I'm going to just put them up here again very quickly. If you're taking notes and you didn't have time to write them all down, but I didn't want to come across this message. It's all about just doing more and doing more good works, but it really comes down to our inner core. So we see God's goodness, and God's goodness should penetrate our life when we surrender to Him. We are to overcome evil. We're to be devoted to God. We're to have an upright character, a life of integrity. And then be sincere, be genuine with the reason that we are doing our good deeds, not for the praise of man, but to glorify God. And then also to serve out of a servant's heart, to truly care about the needs that we see around us, and then also to be sensitive and caring. So a verse from 1 John yet that I really liked. I read 1 John 3:17 here. This is 3:18. It says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And I thought that went so well with the Greek word. The meaning for goodness is defined as uprightness of heart and life. So the action that we should take. So goodness is virtue and holiness in action. So as we go throughout this week, the question I want to leave with us this week, will your life produce fruit that is evident to those watching you that you are walking in the Spirit? So I'd like us, the question is for me first, but as we think about the fruits of the Spirit, we can only produce these fruits of the Spirit, I believe, as we walk in the Spirit. Say no to the flesh and say yes to the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit, and out of that, these good works or the fruit of the Spirit can flow out of. So God bless you this week as you bear the fruit of goodness and allow God to be glorified from the fruit that comes from your life. Thank you for your attention. Let's pause for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you that we can trust you because you are good. You are faithful. And your goodness extends to all generations, to all places. And I pray that each one of us could experience your goodness personally, that we would all come to, if we haven't come to the place of surrender, where we open our hands and said, "Yes, Lord," and allow you to create a new heart in us, to make us good, if you will, with that new heart. And I pray that out of that, the good fruit that you want from our lives can flow from us as we continue to say yes to you and no to the flesh. And may you receive the honor and glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.